Audio Service, National Radio Club.
Welcome to the National Radio Club's DX Audio Service for July 2013. This is issue number 342. I'm your host, Fred Volby. The address for the DX Audio Service is 706 McKenzie Drive, Lima, Ohio, 45805. Email address for general inquiries is fvobe, that's F-V-O-B-B-E, at realoldiesradio.com. My telephone number for short calls is 419-228-6223. A yearly subscription to the DX Audio Service for U.S.-Canadian members is $30, and the magazine is now published on CD. To subscribe or renew, make a check payable to the National Radio Club Incorporated and send them to me at the address that I just mentioned, or you can log on to our website at www.nrcdxas.org and sign up using PayPal. If you're on the internet, you can sign up to EDXN and get your DX Audio Service in MP3 format. A subscription to EDXN is only $15. Just point your browser to www.e-dxn.com and subscribe online with PayPal. Subscribe only if you're able to download and navigate a website without anyone's assistance. Well, now here's Dave Alpert, and he's got this month's AM Switch.
This is the AM Switch.
AM Switch, volume 80, number 27, starting off with call changes from existing stations. 1450 WQKC in Jeffersonville, Indiana, changes its call sign to WXVW. Also on 1450 WRKD, Rockland, Maine, becomes WVOM. 1560 WZTQ Center, Alabama, changes their calls to WLYG. And 1590 KRSX, Victorville, California, is now KVTR. Call sign changes for new stations, CPs, include 1120 WFNX in Coral Springs, Florida. They changed to WZBR. The station is not on the air yet, and the WFNX calls were never actually used. 1490 KGFR Malmstrom Air Force Base, Montana, changes to KHTC. KGFR is still technically a new station CP, although it has been on the air with program test authority for years. On the air, new station CPs, 1120 WKAG, St. Johnsville, New York. The CP for the new station granted program test authority on May 31st and should be on soon. 1120 KTXW, Manor, Texas. The CP for new station granted program test authority May 17th and should be on soon, if not already. Existing station construction permits now on the air. 780 WTME Rumford, Maine has modified its license, not through the normal process, to reduce power to U1, 1 kilowatt day and 18 watts night, from their licensed U1, 10 kilowatts day, 18 watts night. This has taken effect, so daytime coverage has been cut back. 930 KOGA, Ogallala, Nebraska's construction permit for U2, 2100 watts day and 500 watts night is now on the air. 1090 KQNM, Milan, New Mexico, has a CP for D1, 250 watts, moving two channels down from 1100 kilohertz. It's now on the air. 1120 KEOR, Catoosa, Oklahoma's CP for D4, 10 kilowatts day, 7,000 watts critical hours, is on the air. 1440 WHDM, McKenzie, Tennessee, applies for license to cover CP for U1, 420 watts day, 91 at night, and it's on. 1520 KYND Cypress, Texas, applies for license to cover and granted program test authority for their CP for D4, 18,000 watts day, and critical hours power of 25,000 watts. Finally, 1580 WSRF, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, their CP for U4, 10,000 watts day and 1,500 watts night from a new site, which is diplexing into the WAVS 1170 antenna system, is on the air. You could scratch these out of your log. 1110 WKZV, Washington, Pennsylvania. License canceled, calls deleted at licensee's request, per a letter dated May 16th, citing poor economy and the licensee's poor health. 1450 WDLK, Dadeville, Alabama. Their license is canceled and calls deleted. WDLK's license was not renewed as the station seems to have been off the air without FCC authorization for some time. 1590 WZUM, Carnegie, Pennsylvania. License canceled, calls deleted. WZUM has been silent since March of 2010. And just a reminder, if you hear a station off the air, please let us know on the DXAS Musings line so we can pass it on to the folks on the Prittit side of the club. These CPs have been granted to existing stations. We have two, both in St. Augustine, Florida. 1240 WFOY granted a construction permit to U1 500 watts day and night. They were 580 watts. And 1420 WAOC was granted a CP to U1 2000 watts day and 230 watts night. WAOC was U1 2180 watts day and 250 at night. Applications from existing stations, a ton of them, starting with 600 WKYH, Paintsville, Kentucky, applies for CP to U1, 4,500 watts day, 40 watts night at a new transmitter site, diplexing with WSIP 1490. 810 WRSO, Orlo Vista, Florida, applies for a construction permit to raise its night power. They'll be U4, 10,000 watts day and 1,000 at night. They were 400 at night. 880 KLRG, Sheridan, Arkansas, applies for CP to consolidate operations at their current daytime site, where they would become U2, 50,000 watts day and 200 watts night with critical hours power of 31,000 watts. 920 KIHM in Reno, Nevada, is being told to move by the Nevada Department of Transportation. They apply for a construction permit to U2, 4,800 watts day and 850 watts night from a new site. They were U2, 4,600 watts and 850 at night. The current site is being condemned for a highway project. On 1,000 kilohertz, KCEO, Vista, California, applies for CP for U4, 10,000 watts day and 900 at night, now licensed for U4, 5,000 day and 900 night. 1150 KLPF, Midland, Texas, applies to move to 1180 with U1, 30,000 watts day and 207 watts night. 1160 KIWA, St. Cloud, Florida, applies for CP for U4, 14 kilowatts day, 500 watts at night from their licensed U4, 2,500 watts and 500. 1230 KSGG, Reno, Nevada, applies for a CP for U1, 1,000 watts day and night at a new transmitter site, which will diplex with the KIHM 920 change that we just told you about. 1280 KFRN, Long Beach, California, applies for CP for U4, 500 watts day and 400 watts night from a new site co-located with KLTX 1390. 1360 WELR, Roanoke, Alabama. This corrects a typo in a previous application. They're staying at U1, 1,000 watts day and 54 watts night and do not plan to increase their night power to 540 watts, but they are moving to a new site. 1380 KRCM, Shenandoah, Iowa, has a CP for U4, 22,000 watts day and 50 watts night, and applies to amend that construction permit to raise night power to 67 watts by using a different night transmitter. 1460 WEEN, Lafayette, Tennessee, applies for a construction permit for U1, 1,100 watts day, 119 watts night. They're now licensed for U1, 860 watts day and 119 night. And up in the X-band, 1630 KRND, Fox Farm, Wyoming, applies to move to a new site. KRND has an SDA to broadcast from there, and this application would make it permanent. Speaking of STAs, 580 WDBO, Orlando, Florida, operating under an STA with U1, 5,000 watts day and 1,250 watts night during tower work. 590 KSUB, Cedar City, Utah, applies for an STA with U1 5,000 watts day and 250 watts or less during the night, as they have major issues with their grounding system that will take a while to fix. 740 KBRT, Costa Mesa, California, granted STA with U1 10,000 watts day, 113 watts night, as their brand new tower site had an equipment failure on April 30th. 930 KHJ Los Angeles, California, granted an STA with U2 5,000 watts day and night from a new site. The old KHJ site is gone as they dropped the towers to make way for new construction on the land. 1170 KLOK, San Diego, California, granted an STA with U1 2,350 watts day, 1,250 watts night, as their directional pattern can't be achieved due to damage from a grass fire at the site. 1190 WLIB, New York, New York, granted an STA for U3 10,000 watts day and night using day pattern after a fire at their transmitter site. 1270 WRLZ, Eatonville, Florida, applies for an STA for U2 5,000 watts day and night using their auxiliary transmitter because the main transmitter was destroyed by fire. This application was later dismissed. 1330 KKNS, Corrales, New Mexico, applies for STA for U1 500 watts day and night from another temporary site after the earlier temporary site was vandalized. 1330 WFNN, Erie, Pennsylvania, granted an STA with U3 1,000 watts day and night using their auxiliary transmitter and night pattern 24 hours a day during work on the day pattern. 1360 WNJC, Washington Township, New Jersey, applies for STA for U1 1,250 watts day, 200 watts night, due to vandalism at their antenna site keeping them from using their directional array. 1470 WTZE, Tazewell, Virginia, is granted an STA for D1 1,200 watts. They suffered a bad lightning strike on April 26th. And 1590 WCGO, Evanston, Illinois, is granted an STA for U2 7 kilowatts day, 625 watts night, during work on their night pattern. Let us not be silent. Here's some information on silent stations, and we start off with those coming back from being silent. They include 620 KIGS, Hanford, California, 830 KMUL, Farwell, Texas, back on with an STA for U1, 10 watts day and night, 880 KJOZ, Conroe, Texas, 890 KYWN, Meridian, Idaho, 890 WHJA, Laurel, Mississippi, also back on the air after being silent. 960 WGRO, Lake City, Florida, 980 KICA, Clovis, New Mexico, 1080 WALD, Johnsonville, South Carolina, 1230 KVOC, Casper, Wyoming, 1450 WKAL, Rome, New York, and 1490 WTQS, Cameron, South Carolina. Welcome back. Stations which are now or soon will be silent include 580 KZMX, Hot Springs, South Dakota, 860 KARS, Belen, New Mexico. They've been off since March 28th to complete a CP to move to 840. 910 KLCN, Blytheville, Arkansas, silent since April 26th due to transmitter site vandalism. 1000 WRAR, Tappahannock, Virginia, silent for financial reasons. 1200 WEMM, Huntington, West Virginia, silent due to vandalism. 1230 KRXK, Rexburg, Idaho, also off for financial reasons. 1310 KEIN, Great Falls, Montana, is silent after losing their transmitter site. 1310 KKNS, Corrales, New Mexico, is off after their antenna was vandalized. 1330 KVOL, Lafayette, Louisiana, silent for transmitter repair. 1440 WCDL, Carbondale, Pennsylvania, has been off the air periodically since May 17th. Due to legal disputes with new landlords at their transmitter site. 1490 KFCR Custer, South Dakota, is silent again as of April 26th after a brief time on the air. In Canadian news, via Dan Siss and Sean Axelrod, 920 CFRY, Portage La Prairie, Manitoba. We have a correction. Their application is not to shut down the AM station, but simply to convert the existing simulcast on 93.1 into a freestanding station. AM radio is alive and well in Portage La Prairie. 920 CKNX in Wingham, Ontario. Their application for an FM relay station was denied, so CKNX stays AM only. 1570 CKMW, Winkler, Manitoba, is now testing on 88.9 megahertz, the official move date not yet known, so catch this one while you can on 1570. We also note a lot of LPRT stations dropping like flies, so some of Canada's rarer AM stations are not going to be heard anymore. With thanks to Bruce Conti, Steve Kennedy, Dave Baum, Terry Kruger, and as always to Sean Axelrod and Bill Hale, I'm Dave Alpert in the Los Angeles studios of the DX Audio Service, reminding you to contact us when you have information to share and keep your ears open for changes in your backyard. Now, here's Mark Durenberger.
National Radio Club.
Thank you, David. A couple of months ago, we began what was to be a two-part report from New England, but so far we've only made it through the 1,000s, and we have a long way to go. I guess I didn't count very well when tallying the stations. We've got them from three different locations, so there were a lot of signals to cover. Well, we'll put the cap on it this month in an abbreviated band scan and get to the end of this pageant. As you know, we set up listening posts in Lake George, New York, North Conway, New Hampshire, and Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. And so far, we've presented the IDs from 540 through 1080. We're using a 30-foot vertical wire antenna. Moving on, we'll bypass the obvious 50 kilowatts that can be heard anywhere in the region, and instead we'll focus on the others. That would start with two on 1160, WBYN, Layton, Pennsylvania, heard in Wilkes-Barre. They call themselves The Light, but as you'll hear, they seem to want to hide their light under a bushel with an almost buried ID. Also heard on 1160, WABY in Mechanicsville, New York. Ever wonder where they got that town name?
A Christian is a living, walking sermon, whether or not he ever preaches a single word.
You're listening to 1160 The Light.
Son, your mother and I have decided we really want to give you every possible edge in life. It's a competitive world out there, so it's important you get a jump on it.
That's homepro.servicemagic.com.
We're the station that brings back great memories. AM 1160, WABY.
Moon Radio News, this is Ryan Bashee. A school merger is being considered in Mayfield. Mayfield School District is talking about merging with Northville School District for financial reasons.
Then to 1200 and WRJK from Hughesville, Pennsylvania, a Wilkes-Barre catch. Next, WMML, 1230, heard in Lake George, about 12 miles from its tower licensed to Glen Falls. There's a bit of automation trouble here. On 1240 in Wilkes-Barre, local station WBAX.
New Talk WRAK, 94.9 FM, 1400 AM WRAK Williamsport, and 1200 AM WRKK Hughesville. News Radio. I'm Dave Anthony.
It's the Jim Rome Show, entertaining the North Country from noon till 3. Weekdays on Upstate New York Sports Leader. More Fox Sports Radio, 1230 WMML.
Listen on your smartphone using the iHeartRadio application.
Download more online at foxsportsradio.com.
You can't match the combination.
BlackBerry, Troy, iPhone.
We think it's a hoot.
Stop in to Pizza Perfect today at 16 Carverton Road in Trucksville. Or call for takeout at 696-2100.
WEJL Scranton, WBAX Wilkes-Barre, WQFM Forest City, Northeast PA's ESPN Radio.
And on 1290, we have two, Binghamton's WNBF heard in Wilkes-Barre, and the Keene, New Hampshire signal of WKBK has picked up in North Conway.
Jay, thank you very much for your call. We're going to check in with the latest from ABC News coming up. Please keep us posted on what's going on in your West Endicott neighborhood with respect to the proposal for the PVC plant. Thanks, Jay. ABC News next, covering the world and the nation, and then the local report from the WNBF News Center. It's 10 o'clock. This is WNBF Binghamton.
Here's the latest from ABC News.
At Ted Shewan Sport, 115 Main Street in downtown Keene.
From Keene, Wisconsin, Wall Street to Washington, the world is changing. Are you listening? This is Keene's news station, AM 1290 WKBK, Keene.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor.
There's a raft of local signals in the 1300s, and again, we apologize for only having time to bring you these short snippets. Sounds a little like John Bowker's world-famous travelogue, doesn't it? We'll do this in the hopes that at least you'll hear a new set of call letters, or maybe a heritage call that might jog your memory. We'll break these next into three groups by listening location. From Lake George, New York, we hear 1300 WGDJ. Boy, they say that better than I do. Rensselaer, New York. WDER comes in from Barrie, New Hampshire on 1320. And on that signal, you'll hear a very slow beat that indicates there's another 1320 trying to sneak in. In fact, through several of these later in the day, you're going to hear that same beat where several co-channel stations of lower power are competing for this region.
All right, phone lines open. 911. Have we forgotten? What do you remember? Should we remember? Should we just move on with this? 476-1300.
WGDJ Rensselaer is Talk 1300.
Paul Vandenberg mornings. Fred Dicker at 10. And Al Roney afternoons. Stimulating local talk.
From ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett.
Tonight with lows in the mid-50s, sunny, quite warm Thursday with a southwest wind, low to mid-80s. WDER, 1320 AM, Derry, and WDER FM, 92.1, Peterborough, Manchester, Nashua.
And then two of our only Vermont catches, 1340 WNVR in Pulteney, Vermont, and 1380 WSYB in Rutland.
Jeff Beck and Cindy Walker. Lakes Region Radio, time for news.
Lakes Region's information stations, WVNR, Pulteney, Rutland, WNYB, Whitehall, Saratoga, Glens Falls.
Good evening. It's 5 o'clock.
So be sure to come down and see us today. The Last Chance Clearance event is going on now at Alderman's Toyota, Route 7 South in Rutland.
9-11, remember.
A deliberate and definite attack on more than acts of terror. They were acts of war.
WSYB Rutland and WSYB 1380AM.com.
NBC News Radio, I'm Luke Russert on Capitol Hill.
Then, while parked in North Conway, New Hampshire, 1350 brought us WEZS from Laconia, New Hampshire, and on 1370, Manchester's WFEA.
Playing the greatest hits of the 60s, 70s, and now the 80s. WEZS Laconia, AM 1350, and WEZS.com.
From America's Radio News, I'm Rick Vincent.
President Barack Obama has paid tribute to Ambassador Chris Stevens.
This is legendary AM 1370, WFEA Manchester.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor.
In the 1300s at Wilkes-Barre, we caught but two legible signals, nearby local 1340 WYCK Scranton, and a bit farther away, 1380 WMLP in Milton, PA.
Call 346-4641 for full details.
Fox Sports Radio. Northeast PA's largest sports network. Your local sports authority. Fox Sports Radio. The game. WICK Scranton. WCDL Carbondale. WICK Plains Wilkes-Barre. The game.
And other restrictions apply. Hopper available with qualifying programming packages. Call for details.
There's more Glenn Beck after NBC News on WMLP Milton and online at 1380WMLP.com.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Kraszewski. The Chicago teachers strike now in week two.
The 1400s have three graveyard channels, 1400, 1450, and 1490. From our three posts, we gathered a total of eight stations. I think three of them were graveyarders. In Lake George, we heard a local station, 1410 WENU, South Glen Falls, and a graveyarder, 1450 WWSC in Glen Falls. That's followed by Albany's WDDY on 1460.
WENU, 1410 AM, South Glens Falls. You're dialed into the new you.
NBC News Radio, I'm Luke Russert on Capitol Hill.
Put away a few bucks, feel like a million bucks. For free ideas and easy ways to save, go to feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org.
Are those footy pajamas?
This message is brought to you by the American Institute of Certified Public Accountants and the Ad Council.
The station for talk in the Tri-Counties. Talk 1450 WWSD, Glens Falls.
The latest from ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger.
Brought to you by Color Splashers. With Color Splashers, you can design jewelry that magically transforms. The colors stay until you want to change them.
Rock Lynch on Radio Disney.
Whoa, back already? I'm Selena Gomez, and your favorite music continues now on Radio Disney.
This is WDBY and WDBY HD1 Albany.
Radio Disney, about 1 hour into your boy. Ross Lynch takes over Radio Disney. He'll be taking your phone calls, talking about the Austin Alley soundtrack, which is out today. And, of course, Austin Alley payphone 5, that's coming up in Katy Perry.
At North Conway, only one. That was 1420's WASR Wolfboro.
Hour is sponsored by Wolfgang's Pizza, Subs, and More in Wolfboro. Join us Sunday mornings at 8 o'clock on WASR. From the staff at WASR, have a blessed day.
Listen for more Ingram, Clark Howard, Sean Hannity, Fox Sports, and Weekend Oldie on the Talk Around the Lake, AM 1420 WASR Wolfboro.
Second officials killed in Libya.
Today, we bring home for Americans.
WICK Graveyard 1400, a local in the Wilkes-Barre area. That'll be strong when you hear it. Then WENE from the Binghamton, New York area. You'll need a translator at the beginning of this one. Sports talk.
Fox Sports Radio. Northeast PA's largest sports network. Your local sports authority. Fox Sports Radio. The game. WICK Scranton. WCDL Carbondale. WICK Plains Wilkes-Barre. The game.
At Penn State Worthington Scranton, we are Penn State.
If you're a high school junior or senior starting to look at colleges, or maybe a recent high school grad or adult learner looking to further your education,
Penn State Worthington Scranton is for you.
When I mentioned something about Icky Woods, and I said, you guys know Icky Woods, right? They're like, who? That amazed me. That made me know who Icky Woods was. That's his name, Bengals.
And that's the kind of stuff to me that gets people slapped around. You got to know your history.
Sandy Furman, Arch Rel Hawkins. Weekdays at 6 a.m. on Sports Radio 1430. The team. WENE Endicott. Broadcasting from the DriveTownInsurance.com studios. This is Sports Radio 1430, The Team, an iHeart radio station.
From Tahannock, Pennsylvania, we hear the terribly modulated signal of WGMF on 1460 and a brief snip of Graveyarder WAZL on 1490 from Hazleton, Pennsylvania.
You can't hold.
This is the radio station that was started by the British invasion. You're on Gem 104, WGMF, Tappanhoek Springs, and WZMF, Nanticoke, Wilkes-Barre.
W A Z L Hazleton.
Fox News Radio. I'm Dave Anthony.
Finally, the 1500s. The first four were made at 6 p.m. in September in North Conway, and as you hear on the high end of the band, the Coe Channel is starting to appear as Skywave enters the picture. Begins less than auspiciously with a weaker than expected signal from Boston, 1510's WWZN.
Repeat it one more time, Doc. That's www.listmove.gov. A message from the Ad Council and ATJ.
The home of the House of Cards radio show. Weekend on 1510 NBC Sports Radio. WWZN Boston.
NBC News Radio, I'm Melissa Raver.
1520 has WIZZ from Greenfield, Massachusetts. Suddenly, the channel is grabbed by its rightful owner. And you know what that is.
Advertiser and listener-supported Good Music Radio. 1520 WIZZ Greenfield.
Your source for the latest on the 2012 presidential race. This is 50,000 watt AM 1520 WWKB Buffalo.
NBC News Radio, I'm Melissa Rayberg.
Up one notch to 1530 for WDJZ in Bridgeport, Connecticut. And to Rhode Island for Warwick's WARV on 1590. These captures were made in North Conway.
And last but not least, what we really need is a baptism so that all of us will be washed with water and so that the things that cause us to self-conflict will be all washed away.
WGJZ, Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Upward Bound at Sacred Heart University, located in Fairfield, Connecticut, at 5151 Park Avenue.
Sunny and pleasant Sunday, low 70s. Randy Bergson with the WARV weather update.
For life-changing radio, broadcasting 24 hours a day. For 1690 AM, WARV, Wallet, Providence.
A pleasure to copy WITK 1550 in Pittsfield from Wilkes-Barre. They're obviously proud of their call letters. The toughest catch of the day is 1560 WSDK Bloomfield, Connecticut, about 120 miles distant, and we were in the null of their three-tower directional pattern.
Wednesday, partly sunny near 65. Thursday, sunny near 70. That's the forecast from Christian Talk 1550 WITK. At 10 a.m., we have 58 degrees now in Pittston.
You're listening to WITK, Pittston, Scranton, Wilkes-Barre.
AM 1550,
radio that changes the way you live.
IRN, USA Radio News. I'm Mark Thomas.
And finally, WPSN, Holmdale, Pennsylvania at 1590. Another tough one. These last two recorded in Lake George, New York.
Sometimes the best things for nature come in unexpected forms. CSX trains move one ton of freight nearly 500 miles on a single gallon of fuel. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
WPSN Homesville is Wayne Pride News Radio, a Bold Gold Media Group station.
From America's Radio News, I'm Bill Caiaccio.
We've said this before, some of these signals seem pretty weak and far away, but we know that a community of listeners is being served by these voices in the close-in service area, and that each station means something to its constituents. It's a shame that Time constraints don't give us an opportunity to spend more meaningful time with each of these signals. Mark Dernberger for the DX Audio Service. There's only a short time left to register for the joint DX convention in Minneapolis with the National Radio Club, the International Radio Club of America, the Worldwide Television and FM DXers Association, and the Minnesota DX Club. We've got a terrific learning and sharing agenda set for you and some great hospitality as well. If you haven't registered yet, we hope you'll do so now. And until we hear from each other next month or meet in person at the convention, good listening, DXers.
Since April of 1985, this is the DX Audio Service, a nonprofit organization devoted to the radio listening hobby.
FCC proposes making TV menus accessible to the blind. This article was written by Julian Hattam in The Hill. Federal regulators are unveiling draft rules to make cable and television menus accessible to the blind and visually impaired. The proposal from the Federal Communications Commission, FCC, will require that users have, as an option, on-screen menus read out loud, helping the blind understand what's playing on different channels. Cable and satellite menus, as well as other devices, will have to comply with the new rule once it is finalized. It's incredibly important for our ability to access entertainment content through the home theater experience, said Eric Bridges, the Director of Advocacy and Governmental Affairs with the American Council of the Blind. The new proposal requires that 11 essential functions of TV are accessible, including adjusting volume, obtaining program and channel information, and various configuration settings. The proposal is the FCC's last in a series of new rules to implement the 21st Century Communications and Video Accessibility Act, CVAA, which is a 2010 law. The agency had previously issued rules making cell phones, internet browsers, and emergency TV alerts accessible to blind people, among other measures. The law sailed through Congress as an attempt to update technology for the modern era, making sure that people with disabilities could take advantage of cell phones and digital tools just like everyone else. Generally, we've been really pleased with how the FCC has viewed the implementation of the CVAA. And if this is done correctly, this will mean equal access to entertainment content on television, Bridges said. The FCC is scheduled to publish the proposal in the Federal Register and is accepting comments for the next 50 days. The agency has said it intends to finalize the rule by October. For the DX Audio Service, I'm Wally Warrow in Dallas, Texas.
Consumers shouldn't pay for TV they don't watch. This article is by Brendan Sasso. Senator John McCain urged a Senate panel on Tuesday to back his legislation that would pressure cable and satellite TV providers to allow their customers to pick and choose the individual channels that they pay for. "Basically, I support a la carte, and I believe most Americans do," said the senator, "for the basic reason that consumers should not have to pay for television channels that they don't watch and have no interest in watching." McCain said this in testimony before the Senate Commerce Committee's Subcommittee on Technology and the Internet. Most cable TV providers require customers to purchase a tier or bundle of channels. "I truly believe that a lot of Americans are fed up with the size of their cable bill. They ought to be able to do the same thing that we're able to do when we walk into a restaurant and not have to buy everything on the menu," he added. McCain's bill, the Television Consumer Freedom Act, would void a copyright benefit for cable providers that insists on bundling their channels. The step would create legal headaches for cable companies when they try to offer local broadcast stations. The legislation would also condition certain regulatory benefits for media companies on them by allowing cable providers to sell their programming on an a la carte basis. McCain argued that the bill only leverages special government benefits that TV companies currently receive and doesn't mandate a specific business model. But his bill has generally received enthusiasm amongst the panel's members. Subcommittee Chairman Mark Pryor, Republican from Arizona, said that it seems very common sense, but he asked industry witnesses to weigh in about the potential problems. There's either a breakdown in the competitive model or there isn't, said Senator Ron Johnson, a Republican from Wisconsin, noting that consumers continue to pay for TV cable bundles. Michael Powell, the head of the National Cable and Telecommunications Association, warned that McCain's legislation could actually drive up prices for many consumers. He said that as fewer people subscribe to a channel, the advertising revenues fall, and the price of the channel then goes up. It doesn't take long for a customer putting those pieces together to quickly get to a package that costs something very similar to what they were paying for before, if not more, said Powell. He also urged that an a la carte system would make it harder for small channels to grow in popularity and could kill off some channels aimed at minorities. John Bergmeier, a senior staff attorney for the consumer advocacy group Public Knowledge, agreed that bundles of channels make sense for many consumers, but he applauded McCain's bill and said that people should have the option to purchase individual channels if they want.
A just-sold AM in Louisiana faces a $15,000 FCC fine, and a sister station's on the hook for $22,500. This article is from a press release at FCC.gov. In fact, the EAS problem found at Pittman Broadcasting Services Talk KVOL Lafayette on 1330 makes the penalty worse at sister Cat Country 98.9 WUUU Franklinton, Louisiana, because it represents a previous violation of the rule about maintaining EAS equipment and keeping up the logs. KVOL is one of four Pittman stations just sold to Charles Shatelain's Delta Media. This may be one reason the FCC's issuing this fine, to clear the way for the $910,000 transaction. KVOL was nailed by an agent from the FCC's New Orleans office, not only for failing to have the EAS equipment plugged in and for log maintenance, but also for running over power at night. On two different evenings, the agent couldn't tell that KVOL had switched from its 5,000-watt day signal to the 1,000-watt night facility. That costs Pittman $6,000, up from the baseline amount of $4,000. The emergency alert system violations total $9,000, adjusted up from $8,000, in the forfeiture order here. At Cat Country WUUU, the EAS violation cost $12,500, and failure to keep the tower painted and having the top beacon light out for 9 months will run another $10,000.
The most important radio station you've never heard of marks 50 years on the air by Joe Hansen. Every night, while millions of Americans are fast asleep, clocks and wristwatches across the country wake up and lock on to a radio signal beamed from the base of the Rocky Mountains. The signal contains a message that keeps the devices on time, helping to make sure their owners keep to their schedules and aren't late for work the next day. The broadcast comes from WWVB, a station run by the National Institute for Standards and Technology. WWVB marks half a century as the nation's official time broadcaster on July 5. Together with its sister station, WWV, which is about to hit 90 years in service, NIST Radio has been an invisible piece of American infrastructure that has advanced industries from entertainment to telecommunications. WWV's broadcast includes a wider range of information, including maritime weather warnings and solar system alerts. Most people aren't even aware that these stations exist, but they have a rich and fascinating history. Their future is uncertain, however, as newer technologies threaten to make them obsolete. NIST is the government agency charged with developing the technology standards that underlie everything from data encryption to cholesterol tests. We're in the business of weights and measures, said John Lowe, who directs NIST's time services from Boulder, Colorado. At first glance, it's unclear why the people who test bulletproof vests and smoke detectors would be in the radio business. But as broadcast technology blossomed through the first half of the 20th century, the government quickly recognized the need to standardize radio. Manufacturers were churning out equipment left and right to deliver information over the air, but no one was ensuring that a particular frequency was the same in Maine as it was in Malibu. Enter NIST, the folks who determine the length of a second. A radio signal is really defined by time, the number of peaks in a wave that pass by a point every second. The FM band, for instance, occupies the airwaves between 87.7 and 108 megahertz, or millions of cycles per second. Making sure that the dial on the radio in someone's home or car matches the broadcast signal demands that stations and receivers all agree on the same standard second. WWV began broadcasting reference frequencies for signal calibration using equipment not that different from the chunk of quartz in a modern wristwatch. These days, though, a bit of quantum physics keeps the nation's signals in sync. Cesium-133 atoms within the NIST F1 atomic clock oscillate at a frantic 9,192,631,770 times per second, acting like the pendulum of a grandfather clock. By tuning into that oscillation, NIST defines the basic unit of time and, by extension, frequency. Over the years, the reference frequencies have been so finely calibrated that they are accurate to beyond a single cycle in a trillion. Thanks to this ability to fine-tune broadcasts, AM and FM commercial radio exploded during the 1960s and 70s because more precise signals meant that more stations could be crammed into a particular range of frequencies. Listeners now had access to more music and programming than ever before. In a way, Lowe says, rock and roll owes a small debt to the atomic clock. In 1965, 2 years after going on the air, WWVB set out on a new mission to broadcast accurate time to the whole country. This seems downright quaint in an age when one can broadcast a photo of a sandwich halfway around the world in less than a second, but at the time it was revolutionary. Radio-controlled clocks let Wall Street's traders certify stock trades down to the second, and power plants could avoid brownouts caused by out-of-sync switches. Heathkit, a popular manufacturer of hobby electronics kits, even sold an atomic clock you could build at home. It wasn't a true atomic clock, of course, but it did receive a signal from one. Those were high times for time radio. Then came the Internet, and then GPS. The very industries that WWVB helped build suddenly threatened to make it obsolete. Today, stock traders rely on computerized trading algorithms that measure success in milliseconds, choosing to synchronize their servers with NIST's internet-based time service instead of WWVB. And since GPS satellites carry their own atomic clocks, nearly all of today's time and frequency needs are served from space. For proof, look no further than the phone in your pocket, delivering time beamed down from orbit. Despite these challenges, Congress thinks NIST's time radio broadcasts are still essential to national infrastructure, and recently granted $16 million for signal enhancements. Lowe says they only used $100,000 and were proud to return the rest. WWVB's value might have a lot to do with the type of signal it broadcasts and its location. While most commercial radio waves measure only a few meters between peaks, WWVB's low-frequency signal results in a whopping 5-kilometer wavelength. These long wavelength signals can reach around the curvature of the planet by clinging to the semiconductive surface of the Earth. On a clear night, a radio-controlled watch can pick up WWVB's 60 kHz signal as far away as Patagonia or New Zealand. The electromagnetic weirdness doesn't stop there. Large wavelengths require large broadcast antennas. An NIST signal relies on a wire mesh suspended over their 400-acre antenna field. The soil chemistry beneath the antenna grid outside Fort Collins, Colorado, is highly alkaline, which makes it a good conductor for electricity. Because it conducts so well, NIST can actually use the Earth as part of their antenna. The ability to put out a continent-spanning time broadcast, Lowe explains, is what has kept WWVB going this long. Inexpensive clock radios and wristwatches, marketed as atomic clocks, could be set each night by NIST's master signal. Yet despite this promise, radio-controlled timekeeping these days is mostly relegated to nightstand novelties. But Lowe thinks that NIST's time radio will continue to find new uses. Imagine all the alarm clocks in a hotel, Lowe explains. They are notoriously wrong. WWVB's newly amped-up time signals can penetrate buildings with ease, something that can't be said for GPS. Lowe foresees a new world of applications for his time broadcast. Out-of-sync traffic lights will keep traffic flowing. Sprinkler systems will be immune to daylight savings errors, conserving water and avoiding penalties caused by watering during prohibited times. The eternally imminent wired home of the future will rely on every appliance and electronic device knowing exactly what time it is. And Lowe insists the days of clocks blinking 12 o'clock could be a thing of the past. Despite these possibilities, it remains to be seen if WWVB can stay ahead of ever cheaper GPS technologies. The time impaired should rest assured that even the folks behind WWVB don't always keep perfect time. WWVB broadcast engineer Matt Deutsch admits he is sometimes late. "But I know exactly how late I am," he said. The ubiquity of mobile phones means that most people now look to their pocket or purse instead of their wrist when asked for the time. As essential as time is to their lives, most Americans simply don't think about where it comes from, only that it's always there. When it comes to keeping Americans on schedule, WWVB has quietly succeeded for half a century. As for what the future holds, only time will tell. In Lexington, Kentucky, this is Chris Gay for the DX Audio Service.
Thousands slam proposal to relax FCC standards. This article was from the Washington Times and written by Cheryl Westing. The battle over swearing and sex on the airwaves is still in full swing. On April 1st, the Federal Communications Commission asked for comments on a proposal to relax its standards on profanity and nudity for radio and television networks. Nearly 94,000 public comments have been filed, most of them negative, and 78 traditional value groups Wednesday released a letter of protest to members of Congress. "We urgently request that you do all that you can do to stop the proposed enforcement standard, including opposing any nominee to the FCC who would support the proposal," leaders of the Parents Television Council, Morality and Media, and dozens of other groups wrote to members of the Senate Committee on Commerce, Science, and Transportation and the House Committee on Energy and Commerce. The letter was also sent to the five FCC commissioners. Currently, FCC decency standards do not permit profanity and nudity on broadcasts using the public-owned airwaves during times when children are likely to be in the audience. This generally means between 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. The proposal would change this policy to clarify that networks are liable for deliberate and repetitive profanity, but not when a random curse word slips out. Also, isolated non-sexual nudity would also no longer be actionable, meaning that a wardrobe malfunction during a Super Bowl halftime show would not result in a fine. The comment period for the proposal runs through May the 20th and will be followed by a reply period that ends June 18th, FCC spokesman Mark Wigfield said on Wednesday. The FCC's policy proposal follows a lawsuit over vulgar words spoken on award shows during airing on the Fox television network stations. In its 2012 ruling, the U.S. Supreme Court concluded that the FCC can create laws to control indecent content without violating the Constitution, but vague regulations on indecency are not constitutional. In September, the Federal Communications Commission Chairman Julius Genachowski asked for a review of the indecency policies and enforcement to ensure that they are fully consistent with the First Amendment. To date, however, the overwhelming majority of the nearly 94,000 comments oppose the policy change. Please do not allow more sex, nudity, and bad language on network TV, wrote a Florida woman. Have some class, for goodness sake, said a woman from Paducah, Kentucky. Comments from the few supporters of the change urged the FCC to advance beyond the Victorian era and realize that neither expletive nor non-sexual nudity should be considered indecent. And this article was from the Washington Times.
End of a radio era. KBOZ's Dave and Dean hang up the microphones. This comes from the Chronicle and staff writer Jody Hausen. KBOZ's Dave Vischer took out his earbuds and wiped tears from his eyes at exactly 10 a.m. Friday after his on-air partner, Dean Alexander, closed their morning show for the last time. Take care of yourselves and be good, Alexander said. I'm Dean, he's Dave. Adios. The end of more than six combined decades on Ryer Broadcasting's AM radio, the partners said goodbye to a loyal following of their weekday morning show. Friday's broadcast was not much different than any of their other 2,101 shows that ran from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m., save for an occasional caller or visitor's well wishes. The two riffed on food, movies, and goofed on songs to sing while performing CPR. Another One Bites the Dust, Sweet Home Alabama, or Girls Just Want to Have Fun, for example. Last Dance by Donna Summer, Alexander asked. No, Vischer replied. But that's exactly how they wanted to go out and the reason they didn't announce their retirement on the air until Friday. When asked why they sprung it on listeners, the duo said they wanted their last show to be as professional as every other one. When you're at a place doing the same thing for so long, it is a surprise, Vischer said. People expect you to always be there. I would have been fine waiting till 9:59. We still had a show to do. Why now? Alexander, 72, who's been with KBOZ 1060 since 1979 and was the voice of Montana State Bobcat football and basketball, said it was just time. Because I can still do this, but I don't want to lose the burning desire to do it, he said. I don't want to leave when the fire is more of a flicker than a flame. You have to know when to say when. Vischer, 50, said he wants time to focus on a home business he runs with his wife. The friends said they will continue playing golf together, but will be playing a little earlier now, and only on days that end in Y, Vischer joked. And he won't miss the 3 a.m. alarm clock, he added. I'm going to go to more movies at night, Vischer said. See, I thought they were doing a private showing for me, Alexander said. I just wanted to see how normal folks live. KBOZ President Bill Ryer started his radio stations in 1975. When he heard Alexander announcing Bobcat football, he knew he had to hire him. I said, my God, I want that man, he said. You've got to get up very early in the morning to get ahead of Dean Alexander. Vischer stumbled in the door of KBOZ in 1985 when his waist was 29, Ryer said. I noticed immediately that he was a wonderful person and very talented. He's looking nationwide for new morning personalities, but the pair clearly left a mark and will be hard to replace. Ellen King Rogers, KGLT general manager, doesn't know them personally, but she said she always thought of them as two really entertaining gentlemen and a tradition in the valley. KMS Moose Radio's Michelle Wolf wished them nothing but the best. They've done so much for the Bozeman community, and I look very much forward to seeing them on the golf course, she said. My 103.5 and KGLT DJ Missy O'Malley said Dean and Dave made mornings fun. I remember tuning into them years back with my dad, she said. He would respond to their questions and trivia while driving to Bridger Bowl. You know you have good chemistry when the entire studios and listeners are having fun. It's not an easy field, but they rocked it, genuinely and naturally.
This is our final day on the air here at KBOZ for Dana, myself, and just decided to hang her up, start golfing earlier in the morning, and move on to a different part of our lives.
Well, as you're facing your first broadcast, you guys are going to kick it off here in about 15 minutes. What's going through your mind as you get ready for this last broadcast together?
Well, I know what's going through my mind. That is, boy, I hope somebody's bringing donuts. But then again, that goes through my mind every morning. How about you, Dean? What's going through your mind?
Well, it's going through my mind, but I'm still going to have to sustain my position as the sex symbol for women who no longer care.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of jumbled thoughts going through our brains right now, Beth.
That's the only kind of thoughts we've ever had.
That's pretty normal, right? That's just a typical morning. Now, gentlemen, you've been on the air a long time. How many years has it been?
Well, for me, I started here in 1984. Dean began in 1858, right before the Civil War. And radio hadn't even been invented, and he would come in the studio and sit waiting for the invention.
I'm a very patient man. I knew it would come someday.
That's exactly
right. I sat
in
the lot and waited.
So Dean started here, honestly, in 1979. Is that right, Dean?
79, yeah. Yes, 1979. Mm-hmm.
Though Alexander seemed ready to pack up his microphone Friday, Fisher waxed more nostalgic. When you're having so much fun, it's bittersweet, he said. I've known him since I was a child. It's hard to conjure up memories without Dean.
Well, let's take a break, and we'll catch you on part two of the DX Audio Service for July 2013.
1310 WTLB.